Thoughts? Good morning, family. My name is Joseph. I'm an addict.
Hi, Joseph.
It might be good afternoon to some people, depending which time zone you come from. But anyway, I want to just thank my higher power for lifting me up and bringing me out here to this convention. 25 years of CPR CNA, it is a miracle. And, you know, it's just an honor to be up here and ask to share on a step, because I do believe the steps are the solutions to every problem straight. And, wow, it is a miracle. But I want to pass all that and just get into why am I here today for a minute. And I just want to welcome anyone who's new up in here today. Anybody that's working steps, anybody that has not done a sixth step yet, if anybody was just a show of hands, not to judge call, just to see where people are at up here, because that's what we're here to do, help somebody maybe after they leave here get busy and start writing a step or the sixth step or wherever you're at today in your recovery. Because I found out something that Narcotics Anonymous, even though we come here, our primary purpose is actually to stop using and find a better way to live. Now, once I stop using, what do I do now? That was the biggest question. Because now that the drugs are removed from Joey, what do I do now? I don't know if anybody ever heard this, but I heard it one time, and I never want to, hopefully I'll never hear it again, that somebody shared one time in a meeting that I'm not using, I have recovered. Now, I don't know what that's all about, and I don't want to know what it's all about, because I start using, and I ain't recovered nothing. The only thing that recovered was, I'm not using. I ain't pick up. But you know what? I found out that I have these things that I've accumulated since birth, that we call them character defects. Anybody don't know what character defects are? They are flaws. Weak areas, things that need to be corrected, things that we have that we don't know what to do and how to fix them. And that's why we're here today. Maybe we can find out what character defects are and how we can go about identify what they are, and maybe we can be aware that we have them. I want to read something out of a working guide that I was asked to speak on this topic just yesterday, and I found out something. I like the literature because the lyrics don't lie. See, one of my character defects is lying. And I want to be honest with you, because you know what? It's okay, because I know that I have the capability of not to lie today, because I have what they call program of recovery. And the thing is, I don't want to get into the next step, because that's what Jan here is going to tell you all about. Okay. The first thing most of us do about character defects is decide not to have them. Unfortunately, this is futile. About as effective as attempting to control our using, we may have some apparent success for a time, but our defects will eventually resurface. The problem is that our defects are part of us. We will always be subject to reverting to our worst character defects in stressful situations. And the reason why I share that is today is because, you know, I got here, I got honest, open-mindedness, and willingness to do something about my problem. I stopped using. I found this thing called God. But you got to have a God or a higher power to do this. And I made decisions to turn my will over to that care of God so we can let him do it. Because my way, I'd be still home, still in my hotel playing with the thumb exerciser. And it was a nice breeze this morning, so I said, you know what, maybe I don't need to be here. But you know what, maybe somebody needs to share, here's something that I have something to say that might make some sense. And when we got into that thing called the fourth step, I wrote a lot about inventory. It was easy to write about myself. And if you looked in and see all the patterns and see all the things that I've done, you knew right away there was something definitely wrong with me, even without using drugs. I found all that stuff was accumulated because I used drugs. I became like that. No, I think I had some of them things even before. And when we got to getting honest about admitting to someone else, another human being, a higher power, it was very easy to share about that. But see, now here's the thing. My character defects tell me this. Today, I'm well aware of what I have. See, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, manipulator. I show up to work late, but even though they don't know. You know, I'm dishonest. I want to get the rewards without doing the labor. That's called getting over. You know, these are things I want everybody to identify, because some people in here have them. And it's okay. It's nothing wrong with it. But see, I found out it's working into this thing called the process of recovery and changing, because narcotics not a program of change. How do I change? Well, first of all, I got to know that I have something, and now what to do about it. And listen, how many times I want to resort back to my past? I don't get my way all the time. Sometimes I don't have enough change when I take the bus, and I'm like, the guy's like 225, and I'm like, I got 210, and, you know, listen, it's okay, but what about the guy that did pay? But see, I got to be reminded today that I'm in recovery, not society. I am. I'm trying to find a better way to live a day at a time still after being here 14 and a half years. Well, actually, no, I just lied to you. The 21st of October will be 14 and a half years, but a day at a time. And there's people sitting up here right here in this room that been around, that seen me come around, that are sitting right here in this room. And it is a journey. But you know what? I'm enjoying the fact knowing today that where I'm at today, knowing what I'm capable of doing, knowing that I have a higher power to turn to. Because, see, I'm the type of person that would do something and go eat pizza after. I don't share nothing. See, but today I found that I got nothing to hide. And if I'm going through something, now's the time to share it. What am I going to share when I already knock your whatever in? No, now's the time. Because I know what happens. When I don't think I have, when everything is suave Ebola, and I don't think I know what's going on, that's when the defects start to hang out. When I stop making meetings and stop being reminded I'm in recovery, that's when the defects start to surface. And that's when things start happening. See, I found out something. When I was using, I had a force field because I'm a Star Trek fan. And I used to keep it around and I wouldn't let nobody get near me. Well, somebody got through it and got me into Narcotics Anonymous. But today, I still got that force field on and I keep the disease out with it because our disease is lurking. But see, I found out something. A lot of things are going to happen before I go out and use. Things are going to happen. See, I hate to be the one that goes to jail clean. I hate to be the one that gets that speeding ticket, and it turns out that I'm getting locked up because I didn't think. Because I think I know it all, and I don't know nothing. I know just as much as like they told me, still today, like the first page in the basic text, the white page, the blank. Sometimes I feel that way. But it's just a feeling. Feelings pass. And, you know, when I was doing the step with my sponsor, and Louis, I know you're here right now, you're here in spirit, because my sponsor lives in Puerto Rico. He used to live in Queens. He decided to move back to home. And that's a journey. And that's his journey, and I'm happy, and I'll be down there to visit again in later on in the year. And, you know, when we did this thing, they were asked some questions about character defects. And see, now, I always say this. Once you know what your character defects are, what's the opposite? Ask yourself that question. What's the opposite? List your character defects. What's the opposite? If you're going to lie, don't lie. He always said you got to change one thing. Everything. And you know how you get honest in Narcotics Anonymous? Stop lying. I don't think this is the lying anonymous, but it's, you know, we do things because we're addicts. You know, I just want to be everybody on the same page. And, you know, when we started writing about all this stuff here, it was interesting. Because, see, as addicts, remember, we have good qualities. And we got some same things. But I know today that I don't always get my way. I like to. And I still have a hard time today dealing with no. Interesting. It's interesting. But you know what? I get better at it. But you know what? I'm not going to go and hurt nobody. I'm not going to go steal. I'm not going to go shoot a curb to get over so I can get my way. It is what it is. I turned it over to man. I got to let go. Because I found out something. When I start dwelling on these things, things start to happen. And I don't want to be put in bad space. I like good space. I'm enjoying this journey of recovery. So if anybody's in here today that ain't getting involved in this, steps, because steps are the way to go. You know, I tried other things. I tried doctors. I tried religion. I tried psychiatry. Nobody said, never said nothing about the word defect. The only time I think they said the word defect is when I was in school, because I wasn't like, I was one of them, not stupid kids, but one of them kids that just couldn't comprehend. I don't know the word. I think, no, what do you call that? What's the professional word for that? HD, well, there's another word that I don't want to say, but, you know, in like today, even like still today, I like to call people, you know, names, especially people I work with that are not so bright up here. But I got to remember, I'm still sick. But you know what? After it's over, I can go back and say, oh, I'm sorry for what I said. But, you know, I'm never going to be perfect. But I know today I try to keep in mind that I'm not perfect. And if I stay in this process, you people will remind me every day that I'm not perfect. You know, when we opened this meeting, we brought God in here. So if you don't think God is present right now, good orderly direction, it's in here. Just don't see it. Because his message is conveyed to me from me to you, to it's working. And, you know, because that's what we do. And I want to go over one or two of the questions that were asked to me because it's very important because we all get questions on our step work. You know, I don't know how you do your steps with your sponsor, but there's always seems to be questions and I have to come up with an answer. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm in college. And what's funny about this whole thing is when I was in college, I didn't have as many books as I do now that I'm in recovery. These are the best books. Somebody was reading one on the subway the other day, and I looked at her, and she said, "There's something wrong." I said, "That's the best book you could ever get for your money." And he's like, "I might have wanted something else, but just to be on an open mind." But she had the book. All right, here we go. Are you entirely ready? Ask yourself this question. So my first response when I did this step the first time: entirely ready for what? I'm here. What more do you want me to do? Where are we going? I didn't know this was the march to the 12th step. I didn't know that. But I am. When I surrendered, I was ready for something. Didn't know what it was because I wasn't at that point in recovery yet. Once you started getting involved in the process of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you'll know what entirely ready means. Because how much pain, misery, and suffering does it take you to be ready? How much thorough ass whipping does it take? And that's where we become entirely ready. Not partially ready, entirely. It's whole. Because I'm like one of them people, I'll only do half. You know, anybody ever get high half the time? Anybody only do half of the, you know, we're saying, I'm what the whole thing. Because I'm ready. I'm ready for the journey. Because I turned my will over. I'm ready for anything now. And you know what? If you get honest, open-minded willingness, it's going to happen. Because that's all it takes. Willingness. And I'm willing today. And I was talking to a girl later. She came. I was talking to her. I said, "You need help?" She goes, serving on one of the committees here. And I says, she asked me, "Who are you?" I says, "I'm the 12th concept man." I says, "Always a service, never a government. You need help? Let me know. You look like you need it." Then again, whatever. But that's it. That's how it ended. And I just kept moving. But you see, when I found out something about character defect, means we got to start moving on. We know we got them. We know. So how do we move on? And you know, today, man, I just find this process of learning about Joey. You know, somebody said the mask must go, Halloween's over. You know, and it's true. It's true. Okay. Now. Okay, here we go. The spiritual principle of this step. How am I demonstrating my commitment to recovery today? It's right in the step working guide. I didn't write it. Well, I'm showing up. I'm not using. I'm asking for help. I call my sponsor. I'm working steps still. Because I found out once we do them over again and over again and over again and over again until we get sick and tired of doing them over, but we do them over again. Because it's a process. And I try to help the newcomer. I try to carry the message to the newcomer, not carry the addict to the message. Because how many people ever carry addicts to messages? If you pick up an addict, a newcomer, bring them to a message, bring them to a meeting, what are you doing? Interesting. But we still do it. But it's today I try to carry the message. I try to do what I can do for people. So I have a good heart. See, that's not a character defect. That's something that was given to me. Sometimes my heart don't work 100%, but I feel today. See, I got that gift of feeling. And I'm demonstrating it. Because I live a different life today. Every time something goes wrong, guess what? I'm not going to jail. When I was using, I went to jail sometimes 3 times in 1 week. I just walked up the block and I got locked up for doing nothing. I didn't even get up to the top of the train station. They were locking me up. Because, you know, I was going to do something wrong. You know, today, it's like this. It's a better way. And I found out something. I found something in here. It can't fully be explained at the moment, but it's in here. It's that after going through all the stuff, trying different things, knowing that what you got, what you inherited, and what you stuck with, acceptance. Have you accepted the character defects that you're holding right now? I've done. But I know today, it's like this. We're going to get confronted in issues, and then what do? That's what the next step's for, and that's what the lovely lady's going to share on. But I'm going to answer one more question. And this is something that you can ask yourself after the meeting's over. Do I accept myself today? Yes, I do. Easily. You know why? The only thing I don't accept is the fact I'm a few pounds overweight. And that's okay. That's okay. Because my disease will say, well, I know how to lose weight quick. And that ain't the way to go. That's not the way to go. You know, and I accept myself today because I found something worth living for. I found something Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't find this in TCs. I didn't find it in detoxes. I didn't find it in them psychiatry visits for an hour. I didn't find it in the church. I didn't find it when the priest came to the house with the bottle of water and all that good stuff. I didn't find it that way. I found it here. I found it here because you people help me stay here. Help me keep in this process. And I like this process. You know, I was at my anniversary, and somebody asked my father, he came to my anniversary, the last one, and one of the guys in my group asked my father, do you think Narcotics Anonymous works? And my father told him, I got the evidence in my house. And that is like, you know what? There it is. You know, if I didn't get my way, things would happen. And today, like I said, if I ain't get my way, it's fine. I just ain't using today. I'm not going to go do something crazy and insane because you know what happens? All the nightmares starts again. It's like opening up a can of worms. Because I know one thing today. I'm not perfect, but I got a little clarity where I can think today. And thinking is a beautiful thing today. Because I don't want to go back to where I came from. Because character defects will take you right back where you came from immediately. Because one thing, I want to resort back. But I come to be reminded. Yeah, because I found a spiritual path of recovery. And the second part of that question is, what has changed since I've been working the steps? Myself. My attitude. My behavior. I show up to work on time. I'm not looking to get over because I don't want nothing today. But sometimes I look for that peace and serenity and I can't find it. So I have to like go someplace where I have to find it. And like, but I know a lot has changed. And I'm enjoying the change process because I didn't think it could happen. I didn't think I'd make it to 46 years old. I thought I'd see I'd be in a coffin in a tombstone and buried somewhere, God knows where, before my time. And you know what? Today I'm enjoying it. But change is going to happen. Positive change of old behaviors. And that's what we need to do, change our behaviors and become better people all the time. And like today, I don't have that. In the neighborhood I live in, I had the name. I had the name. When I came home, people used to do things in their house. They used to buy guard dogs, put up barbed wire around their house, do some crazy thing. But not today. People ain't do that. And that's because of change. And like, it's overwhelming. That trust is a big thing. Ain't nobody trust me. But one thing I have to say is I'm blessed that today, that through all the thick and thin, what little I got, I'm grateful for. You know? And, like, just the ability to know right from wrong, it's a beautiful thing. And, I hope that to anybody's in here that's working this step, or we're going to be about working, hopefully I shared something that made some sense. Because I can sit here for more hours and talk and talk and talk. I could go through every question in here. I don't want to do that. Because when I did this, the sixth step the first time, we didn't have this. We didn't have this. We had these things, these worksheets that your sponsor gave to you. And, you know, they were fine. But that came out with the book. I'll tell you how I changed. This is scary sometimes. But they get a little too deep. It's a little too much. Next question. Oh, how much you got in your bank book? You know, stuff like that. You know, but I just try to throw a little humor in because it's just, you know, it's a Saturday morning. You know, we're here to celebrate our recovery. It's for the newcomer. People that are struggling, they're trying to hear something that might motivate them to stay here. But I'm staying. I got my seat here. And I'm liking it. Because I know I tried all other stuff. But, you know, it gets better. But I found out something. We are responsible for the earthwork up here. We must do the work. You want the benefits the sixth step has to offer? Work it. And you'll know. Because I want the benefits, but I have to do the footwork. And I found out something. When I do nothing, I get nothing. When I do something for my recovery, I get something for my recovery. And I do a lot, I get a lot. If I do a little, I get a little. And today, I'd like to give it back. See, on a little note, that still, even though it's a 12-step fellowship, my greatest thought to strengthen here is the service that I do for Narcotics Anonymous. Because I have to do it. I have to give it back. I'm at that point, and like I said, sometimes I want to be lazy. How many people are lazy? It's just night nature thing. You know, but if I'm lazy, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to wind up backtracking myself out of here. Because I don't want to be lazy no more. You know, and it's time to sit home and play in the house. It's time. But there's times, you know, you have to do things, do them. Because I don't like to get behind today. I like to stay afloat, ahead. And you know what? It's just a day at a time, man. It's just a beautiful process. And, I hope I covered what I needed to cover on the sixth step. If anybody needs anything more after the meeting, you want to get with me or get with your sponsor or something, you can do that. If anybody wants to, you know, see where I got this, it was right out of the book here. This is a good book. Just buy it. Don't do like I, you know, think about buying it, because that was something I used to do for a lot of years. I think about it. Still thinking. Maybe. Possibility. Now I'm thinking. Because that's how the mind thinks. You know, and like I said, this ain't no psychological program. This is like the best relapse prevention thing that somebody established. And you know what? I'm just happy for the journey. And I just want to, like again, thank everybody for being here today and listening to this. And if nobody said they love you today, I do. Narcotics Anonymous does. Just keep coming back. And when you get home, get your step working guide out and stop writing. Start writing. My name is Joey. I'm an addict.
I'm Gerard, I'm an addict. Let's give Joey another round of applause. Yeah, y'all, we got Jan from D.C. She's going to set it off on step 7 for us.
Hi, group. I'm an addict named Jan. I am from the Washington, D.C. area. Alrighty. My home group is in the South Potomac area. My home group's the Keep Coming Back group, Tuesday nights, 5203 St. Barnabas Road, Temple Hills, Maryland. Alrighty, thank you. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor of the work and knowledge of our fellowship, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of Narcotics Anonymous. Whew. I'm glad that the meeting started with the Serenity Prayer to bring God into the room. Higher power. I am a little nervous, but that's okay. Let me just, for identification purposes, let me just ID in and tell you guys a little bit about me. And it works how and why. Step one, it talks about how when we first come into the rooms, our drug use is how we identify with each other. And I'm going to start at the end because it's no use in start at the beginning, you know. At the end. That's right, at the end. My disease had me wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to use. And the literature, what is a Narcotics Anonymous program, talks about it doesn't matter what or how much we used. See, all that's not important. Obsession and compulsion is the same regardless of whatever the substance. And after we've been here for a while, we find out that it really ain't got nothing to do with the drugs. Obsession and compulsion takes many forms. And again, my disease woke me at 5 o'clock in the morning to get high. And for me, it always came in threes. It was always my get high, my Budweiser beer, and my Newport cigarettes. And I would not do one without the other two. And that's why today I don't smoke cigarettes, because I'm not going to smoke a Newport or a cigarette or whatever if I can't have my beer. And I'm not going to smoke a cigarette and drink beer if I can't get my get high. So today I don't smoke. If you ever see me smoking a cigarette, you know something is going on with me, and I am definitely in a relapse mode. Wake up 5 o'clock in the morning getting high. Now, I have a son, and at that time, my son was a little boy. You know, he's in school. So I wake him up, get him off to school, and then I commence to getting high again. And now, you know, I'm getting myself together because I still had a job at the end. I still have my job now. I still have my apartment. I still have a little bit of money in the bank. And I say that because the bottom is wherever we choose to stop digging. Get my son off to work. I commenced to getting high again. I'm in the bathroom looking at myself in the mirror saying, God, please help me. Because I ain't want to get high no more, but I couldn't stop. It was perfunctory. Perfunctory means when you do something mechanically without even thinking about it. Without even thinking about it, I just automatically was just getting high. I'm in the mirror looking at myself, God, please help me. And I would always say, this is it. I ain't doing this no more. This is it. We always say that when it's all gone. When it ain't no more. That's always it. I'd go on ahead and I'd go to work. And see, I had one of those jobs where I pretty much had a flexible schedule. Now, remember that morning I'm in the bathroom telling myself this is it. But round about lunchtime, that thing would kick up again. And now I'm on the phone because, see, you know, I had a contact. Because, see, I had this good government job now. I couldn't be out there copping on no street. So I had my contact. And when I called her, if she said that it was on, now I'm thinking of an excuse to leave my job so I can go get high. I get to her place, and once again, always in threes, always my get high, my Budweiser beer, and my Newport cigarettes, always in threes. I ain't going to do one without the other. And I'm over her house, now I done cop, but of course I can't just cop and leave. I got to get high while I'm there. You don't just cop and leave now, you know. Got to get high while I'm there. And then I'm on the subway coming home. If anyone's familiar with Washington, D.C., we have a subway in the back of the train, like the part where the conductor usually sits when that train is on the front of the train. But there's like a little partition part. And I'm sitting back there because I'm feeling so bad about me. Everybody else, they coming home from work. They looking all shiny. And I'm feeling dull. Feeling so bad about me. Self-esteem so low. But miraculously, when I got off that subway and I'm walking home, I don't have no problems. Because I got my get high in my pocket. I got my Budweiser bee in the bag. I got my Newport cigarettes, and I know it's time to get on. So I go home now, and of course, I'm locking myself in the bathroom, burning incense, getting high. My son come home from school. I ain't got no time to spend with him all like that because once again, I'm in the bathroom getting high, burning my incense. He got to use the bathroom. I'm sorry, babe. I'm in here. I'm using it. Whatever I'm doing, I'm using it. He probably thought I had diarrhea or something, but I'm using the bathroom. I'm in here. I'm not leaving out right now. And that's how it was for me at the end. The God of my understanding did for me what I could not do for myself. And what happened was that my son ended up getting into some trouble. And he had to start going to meetings because he tested positive. So I knew I had a problem. I knew I had a problem. I just didn't know what to do. I never thought I would be 35 years old still getting high. Yeah. I never thought that. I thought that somehow it would just magically go away. So again, my son gets into trouble. They have him going to meetings. I go with him because in that way, if anybody sees me in a meeting, I'm not here for myself. No. I'm here with my son. I'm here for him. Now tell me that's not the addict thinking at work right there. That was January the 1st, 2002. That's my clean dating fellowship. Now I do want to say my son, he's still struggling with his, which is okay. It's okay. Because our third tradition says that all that is required is a desire. So when he's ready, he'll come on. Now, let me just go back a little bit because in the Stop Working Guide, it talks about that something that makes us addicts. That something that makes us addicts. I can remember growing up, the kids in school, I was teased real bad. I was teased so bad, and the kids made me believe that something was wrong with me. Didn't come from my home now. I was raised by my grandparents, loving grandparents. They loved me. And I can remember coming home from school in elementary school, crying on my grandmother's shoulder. Just crying. I can remember her saying, it's going to be okay. And I didn't know how at that time to tell her what was going on with me. I didn't know how to express it. And once again, I will say that the kids made me think that something was wrong with me. And let me tell you, even after 9 years of recovery, getting those images out of my mind, this stuff ain't no joke. You got to do the work. Those images still come in my mind after 9 years of recovery. After doing a cycle of steps. After working on my second, fourth step through our step working guide, actually our IP number 10 is working the fourth step in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's how I'm doing the second, fourth step now. But those images, they still come. They still come. So when I went to high school, 15 years old in high school, I had this friend who I thought was my friend. And everything that I told her, she went back and she would tell everybody else. And then one day this girl came up to me and she was telling me my business, you know. And that was it. I was like, I just don't want to live no more. 15 years old and didn't want to live no more. And I tried to commit suicide right there. And God saved me. And God saved me. So I get here to the fellowship. And I'm thinking I'm just going to be a loner for life because, see, I done been hurt. So I ain't letting nobody else in. You're not getting in no more. I done been hurt. I'm not trusting nobody. No. But y'all told me I had to get a sponsor. Y'all told me I had to let somebody know what was going on with me and that I had to do that if I wanted to get better. my first sponsor, because I did change sponsors in my process, and that's okay. First, let me say I can remember when I was new and I wanted time like everybody else. I wanted to have the time that people share, and they had 10 years and 20 years or even 10 days more than what I had. I wanted that time. And a day at a time, I gave time some time. And I would read the steps, and when I got to that fifth step, and it talked about admitting to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact natures of my wrongs, I would think, well, why do I have to tell somebody else my business? But then again, you guys told me that I had to if I wanted to get better. So my first sponsor, the power of attraction was that she had a lot of bills and she paid them. That's right. Because, see, I don't like to owe nobody nothing. You will never say that Jan owes me anything. And that was the power of attraction. And she took me through steps 1, 2, and 3. Got a firm foundation. However, when it came to step 4, I just didn't feel I would be honest with her. And let me tell you, newcomer baby, when you get ready to do that 4th step, you got to have somebody that you're going to tell it all to with no cut cards. And I was torn apart. I was in turmoil because I was like, how do you talk to your sponsor about leaving your sponsor? So I called the NA hotline. And you know, we don't give anybody any answers or anything, but I'm just venting and I'm just talking, you know. And finally, high power led me to the solution. And what I told her, I said, I love you very much. I appreciate all that you've done for me, and you've really helped me. And I'm ready to move on and find another sponsor. How do you feel about that? And she told me, she said, Jan, you have to do what you need to do for your recovery. And today we're still friends. Because, see, recovery is about building bridges. It's not about tearing them down. It's about building bridges. So now I have my second sponsor. I tell her everything. I tell her everything. And once I said to my sponsor, I said, well, I don't think I'll ever outgrow you. And she said, Jan, she said, it's not a matter of whether or not you're going to outgrow me. It's a matter of whether or not I'm giving you what you need. So now with my new sponsor, I'm doing steps 4 and 5. I'm telling her everything, the exact nature of my wrongs are my character defects. I get to step 6, and I become willing to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 6 also says that humility is an ideal state for an addict to be in. And I also want to say, now, I can't be willing for God to remove my defects of character and then hold on to them for dear life. Oh, God, I want you to remove this, but now I just got to hold on just a little bit longer. This one is serving my purpose for me right now. I don't want to let this one go. Don't want to let this one go. Now, 6 and 7, it's a fine line between 6 and 7. And what I'll do, because, see, our literature is subject to group and individual interpretation. And how I came up with my understanding of the 6 and 7 step, really it wasn't until I got to 12. And it works how and why. The 12th step talks about, with our awareness of the exact nature of our wrongs, our character defects, and the humility inherent in that awareness, our desire to change increased dramatically as we work step six. Consciously asking the God of our understanding to help us in step seven was an important development in the awakening of our spirit. Because we had asked for and been granted some freedom from having to act on our shortcomings, we finally began to grasp what the miracle of recovery offers us. My understanding may not be yours, and that's okay, because we have to find the suit that fits. Once I get an awareness of the exact nature of my wrongs, which are my character defects, once I have that awareness of them, because first of all, if I don't know, I just don't know. But once I have that awareness of them, if I continue to act on them, for me, that's when they become my shortcomings. And again, we have to find the suit that fits. I'm not going to talk long. I just want to leave you guys, because when I did my six and my seven step, and really four and five, my character defects, what I did was I came up with the opposites. And I'm going to tell on myself, because I'm going to tell on me, and I'm going to tell you guys my character defects. One was jealous. I'm sure nobody else has that one. Uh-uh. I'm telling you, if I'm with you, I'm with you, and you better make sure that I'm the only one. Ain't going to be nobody else. Ain't going to be nobody else. So jealous was one. The opposite of being jealous is trusting. I had to learn to be trusting. I had to learn not about trusting the other person, but about trusting myself and the God of my understanding. Because it ain't never about the other person. Never about the other person. Never. Insecure. But again, don't nobody else have that. I mean, I'm sure I'm the only one. Instead of being insecure, I must learn to be more confident. More confident in myself. Now, I'd already told you guys that I still have images in my mind about stuff that was said to me back in damn elementary school. That's how I know this work. This thing ain't no joke. And it takes a lot of daggone work. It takes a lot of work to feel good about Jan. I don't know about you guys. It takes a lot of work to feel good about Jan. A day at a time, because that's all I got. Instead of being critical, I can learn to be more encouraging, more positive, and more kind. Instead of being controlling or scheming, I can learn to be sincere and straightforward. Fearful, I can learn to be courageous and brave. And it takes courage to do our fourth step. And again, that's why I say you have to have somebody you're going to tell it all to. Because it takes a lot of courage. Arrogant. Instead of being arrogant, I can be humble. Manipulative. I can be honest. Better than or superior. Now, I'm going to tell you, all through my youth, and I had to be better than. Had to be better than. But here's the thing. In recovery helps us to get right-sized. It helps me to get right-sized. And I came to realize that the only reason I had to be better than is because I felt so bad about me. I had to be better than just to feel equal to. But in recovery, I don't have to do all that. Instead of being stubborn, I can be flexible. Instead of being selfish, I can be thoughtful. Instead of being inconsiderate, I can be caring. Self-seeking and self-centered can be unselfish. Egotistical, I can be modest. I used to always think, why is it that just about every person that I end up hooking up with, and all the guys I've been with have been settles. I'm just going to tell you guys that. It's never the guy I really want. Always some dude. I've been by myself for a while, and, you know, I'm tense-stepped, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You know, that lonely piece. End up hooking up with somebody. Ain't never the dude I really want. Always some settle. And that don't mean nothing. That's not saying anything negative about them. That doesn't mean anything negative about them, because maybe for somebody else, they would be the right person. But for me, I always knew. Always knew. I ain't going to be with him. I don't want to be with him that long. Just maybe just for the summer. Maybe just for the summer. You know, because y'all always be hooking up with people in the summertime now. We got the dances. We got the cookouts. We got this. Y'all want somebody too. Just for the summer, you know. I'm like, I want all these guys, these ego guys. But the thing is, if I'm dealing, if I'm sitting in an ego, then that's what I'm going to attract. And again, picking up people according to and based on how I feel about myself. If I'm feeling bad about me, I can't pick up anything but somebody else, or anyone I should say, but somebody else who's feeling bad about themselves. It don't work any other way. So what I've learned is that I got to start to feel better on me, and the only way to better about me, and the only way that's going to happen is doing the work. And you'll learn, and I've learned, that in recovery, our choices get better. My choices get better in recovery. And sometimes we can just choose not to choose. And that's really what the seventh step actually talks about, the freedom to choose. And I'm going to say this part, because long ago I used to hear all the time people talking about, it's okay if you lay down and when you get up, just don't have no feelings. I'm not built like that. If I lay down, when I get up, I'm going to have some damn feelings. I'm not built like that. So my solution for that, if I don't lay down, then guess what? I ain't got to worry about that. Because I'd be damned if I'm going to hook up with somebody and see his ass in a damn meeting. I got to see you in a damn meeting? Nah. Mm-mm. Instead of being shameful, I can be honorable. Instead of being guilty, I can try a little innocence, being forthright in what I do. And instead of feeling inadequate, I can feel that I am enough. I am enough. I'm going to leave you guys with this, because a few weeks ago, my car was totaled. It was a hit and run. This guy totaled my car. So we called the cops. My son was with me in the car. We called the cops. So I'm sitting in my vehicle, and the cop is there. He's making a report. My son made sure that I was okay. He's 27 years old now, so he made sure I was okay. And then he went with the ambulance, so the ambulance took him away. I'm sitting here in a totaled car, and I'm waiting for AAA to come tow my car. And in that moment, I wanted to use. In that moment, with 9 years of recovery, I wanted to use. And I say that to say, newcomer, this thing ain't no joke. It never goes away. All we have is a daily reprieve, one day at a time. So what I did, I picked up the phone and I started calling people. I told them, I had to tell on them. I went to my home group. I had to tell. It's about saving my ass and not my face. Because I hear about when people relapse, it ain't never what's happening right then. It's about some shit that happened 6 months ago. And they ain't say nothing about it, and then they end up using. No, I don't want that to be a part of my story. I have to expose my disease. My disease dies. And a lot of exposure. And it continues to grow in darkness. And that there was self-pity. Self-pity is a character defect. So instead of wallowing in self-pity, I look for solutions. What can be done? And I'm going to say this too, because the seventh step talks about that me with my finite mind, I have no idea the greatness, the goodness that God has in store for me and his infinite wisdom. Me and my finite mind, I don't know. I can't know. But God knows in his infinite wisdom. Step seven talks about that, the goodness. I'm going to leave you guys with this. We will never become perfect. Our program is about progress and not perfection. And again, I'm an addict named Jan, and thank you for letting me share.
Good job.